This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Yeah, it's good to be with you. And we have a really exciting topic to talk about tonight. We are going to be talking with Deborah Minot. She is a co-chair for the 40 Days for Life in Indianapolis. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
And 40 Days for Life, I mean, we can think of it in a happy way or a sad way. You know, I kind of look at it both because, you know, we're obviously trying to promote life, and we're trying to spotlight, I guess, abortion and how that's not a great choice. So tell us what the 40 Days for Life is and maybe what your role is.
Sure, sure. Well, first of all, 40 Days for Life is an international event. So its presence here in Indianapolis makes us just one of 415 cities this campaign where 40 days will be occurring. But in essence, it is an intense period of prayer, fasting, and witness, a visible witness, standing in front of an abortion clinic. And in that period of time, it's in essence, you know, this prayer to bring an end to abortion, both as a country, but in each individual case that is occurring while we're there.
Now, you mentioned witness, and that's an important part. I mean, prayer is very obviously very important as well, but you could pray at home.
Exactly.
But witness, to explain that a little bit, what you mean as it relates to 40 days.
Exactly. So we, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day of these 40 days, a little bit shorter hours on Sunday, we have people there who are simply peaceful people praying for an end to abortion.
And the event itself runs from September 26th through November 4th, which is 40 days,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yes.
And talk again about the witness, what people see when they come by, because I think people have a lot of maybe misperceptions of people that pray at the abortion centers. You know, there's been talk or, you know, reporting at some point in time that, you know, there are people that do violence, but that's not at all what is happening there.
No, it's the three words we typically use to describe the 40 days event is peaceful, prayerful, and powerful. And so people may come to pray using any mechanism they desire. Typically, the Catholics who are present are praying the rosary, since that is such a powerful prayer. But we also have other Christian churches participating. Many of them bring Bibles, and or many of them just pray free form. And it can be silent, it can be out loud. I mean, it's your opportunity to pray in the way that you wish. But we do have signs that people can carry if they wish that just say, pray for an end to abortion. But we are not part of this trend of, you know, having the large graphic signs and noisy music. This is peaceful and prayerful.
So how do people, I think even at my own parish of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, I think they had something in the bulletin of where our parish is signing up. But how do you, if you want to be a part of this, who can participate and how do you participate?
Okay. Well, virtually anyone can participate. And there are really two primary ways of doing so. First of all, we look to churches to help us coordinate and fill all these many hours on the sidewalk. So this campaign, we have about 25 churches or other organizations who have taken hours on the calendar and they commit to get them filled through their members. But in addition to that, we also have many people who just really believe in this vigil and will come out on their own. And the best way to sign up and to determine what hours really need the presence is to go onto our local website, 40 Days Indy, so that's 40daysindy.org, and just follow the prompts for signing up to pray. And that way you will get a look at the calendar and you can see, you know, is anyone there during a particular hour? Are there going to be four or five people there? You can tell by looking at the calendar.
Now, when people do volunteer to show up, I can see people being apprehensive, saying, well, I couldn't possibly approach a pregnant woman on her way in and counsel her. I wouldn't know what to say. I'd say the wrong thing. I'd mess it up. That's not what these volunteers are doing.
No, there is no expectation. In fact, I also serve as a sidewalk counselor at Planned Parenthood, and the sidewalk counselors stand on the south side of the driveway. All of the prayer participants stand north of the driveway, and there's a beautiful sidewalk, long sidewalk there. So there's plenty of room just to stand or walk or kneel on the grass or whatever, but there's no expectation that you will be talking to the people that are entering. However, their presence is hugely making a positive statement.
If you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Deborah Minot. She is one of the co-chairs for the 40 Days for Life in Indianapolis. And I'm wondering, how long has the 40 Days for Life as a national or international movement been going on? And then how long has it been going on here in Indianapolis?
Well, 40 Days for Life started just as a small event in Texas in 2004.
Okay.
David B. Wright was one of the founders along with three others. And by 2007, they realized they had developed something that was pretty powerful. So they then took it nationally. And it was in 2007 that Indianapolis also signed up. So we were there at the beginning. So now it's been going on in Indianapolis twice a year for this is the 11th year.
So how did you happen to get involved in this? I mean, have you been active in the pro-life movement, or how did you get into this?
Well, regrettably, during my working career, I always professed to be pro-life, but I really allowed work to dominate my time. And so it wasn't until I retired 4 years ago that I realized, okay, I can now go out and pray at the vigil. And in doing so, then I also observed the sidewalk counselors and decided that I was going to do that as well. So both between serving as a sidewalk counselor two mornings a week and then participating in 40 days, I really developed a passion for this ministry.
So what's it like to be a sidewalk counselor? I've been out at the abortion centers before, and the one, I think it was on 16th Street, I think that's closed now. This was back a long time ago. There was one that, I think there was one on the more south side of town. Mm-hmm. And it's just really kind of overwhelming when you go there for the first time, because you see women going in, it becomes real. Mm-hmm. And you're like, this is really happening.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like for you to be a part of this?
Well, right now we are counseling at the Planned Parenthood on Georgetown Road, which is also where the 40 Days Vigil is. And it's a very busy place. And so every day that you are there, typically, it's a unique experience. Just a week ago today, I had the most beautiful save that I can remember, where a very upset woman drove into Planned Parenthood, and the first words out of her mouth were, "I think I'm only a few weeks along, and I have got to get rid of this baby." And within 10 minutes, I had her over at the Women's Care Center. She was in tears, but it was beautiful because she really didn't want to get rid of this baby, but she didn't know where else to turn. So you have beautiful moments like that, and then you have really some very disappointing moments where you can see that people haven't, I mean, they're just using abortion as a convenience, and they're there. They don't really want to hear anything else, and all we can do is pray, which is powerful, but you still see them drive in and know that a baby's life is going to be lost that day.
So is there any kind of special training that people that come out and pray, not the sidewalk counselors, which that's something separate, but if they want to come out and pray, is there any kind of training that they need to be there, or What kind of advice would you give them if they're thinking about doing this?
I would give two pieces of advice. It can be a life-changing experience. So just swallow your fears of being there. Come with a friend and just give it an hour. And the only real advice is just be cognizant of the weather. So if you think it's going to rain, bring an umbrella. If it's windy, bring an extra jacket, because for some reason that street is always colder than anywhere else. but truthfully, the fall campaign, we typically have much better weather anyway. But it really is a powerful experience.
Now, do you see school groups coming out, or youth groups, or parents with children? Do you see that? And
yeah, we see a little bit of all of that. I hope we see more student groups coming out this year. When they come again, it truly makes a statement, even for people just driving by on the street. I will say the Students for Life at Marion University have become much more active, and they have been out. And sometimes when they're there, they even do a little sidewalk chalk, which
that's
is
neat.
Beautiful.
So what kind of an impact over time has this had on either the community or the volunteers or, you know, the women coming in?
Well, the one thing that we don't know with certainty is, in how many instances have we changed someone's mind and heart and they've left? And so in any given campaign, we don't know that. But we do know during some campaigns, the number of people who are willing to turn around and go over to Women's Care Center and the number of saves that we have as sidewalk counselors sometimes triples or doubles during the time that when the prayer participants are out there. The really rewarding times are when you're standing on the sidewalk and someone pulls up and says, this is my son, and he might be 3 years old. He was born because I came here and people were praying and I knew I couldn't go in. And those are the times when you know, no matter how difficult that hour was, it was worth it.
So for those people who want to volunteer, do they take an hour usually if they sign up?
Yes.
Is it an hour?
Yes.
And then could you give that webpage one more time of where they can go to find out more information or sign up?
Sure. It's 40daysindy.org. So 40daysindy.org.
And the 40 Days for Life Indianapolis is going from September 26th to November 4th.
Yes.
Deborah Minot, co-chair of 40 Days for Life Indianapolis, thanks so much for being my guest.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having
me. God bless you. We'll be praying with you.
Thank you.
Remember when you bought that boat, RV, or motorcycle? You thought you were going to use it every weekend. And maybe you did for a while. But now, well, it seems like you don't use it very often. And it's always needing some kind of repair. Plus, you have to pay to insure it, store it, and license it, even when you're not using it, which is most of the time. If you've thought about parting company with your boat, RV, or motorcycle, you can donate it to Catholic Radio, whether it runs or not, even if it has to be towed. It's easy to do, and you'll really be helping keep us on the air. We'll sell it or salvage it, and the money will help us to stay on the air. To donate a boat, RV, or motorcycle, visit our website, catholicradioindy.org, and click on the Donate Your Vehicle button, or call 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400.
Hello, this is Frances Adornato, a supporter of Catholic Radio. If you are looking for a professional vocalist, more details are available with just a phone call, whether a wedding, a funeral, or any special event in your life. I have the appropriate music for you. My voice works well in any setting, be it a church, a funeral home, or even your own home. I can be reached at 317-772-9437. May God bless you.
This is Catholic Radio Indy. We couldn't do it without your support. This station is listener supported. If you are one of our regular donors, thank you very much. If you haven't joined our family of donors yet, visit CatholicRadioIndy.org or call us at 317-870-8400.
And we're back with Faith in Action. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello.
And Bridget, we have a statue on the table, and it's a very familiar looking statue to anyone who came to our dinner last week, because
We had one of these beautiful statues as part of our silent auction last week, but it figures into our interview here as well.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever had anyone bring in a big statue, so it's kind of cool. But, you know, it's not unusual for someone like Mary Grace Bailey, who is our Spotlight Underwriter guest today from Team Bailey, to do something like this, because you're a totally on fire Catholic. And tell us a little about yourself and your business.
And just a brief part of intro here that Mary Grace has been an underwriter here on Catholic Radio for a long time, and we really appreciate that. That is one of the very important things that does help keep us on the air here. But from time to time, we like to bring our underwriters into the studio. You get to hear about them in little 30-second announcements, you know, scattered throughout the day on Catholic Radio. That's our way of saying thank you for their support. But sometimes it's good to take a little deeper look at who are these people and what's their business all about.
So, Mary Grace, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, well, I've been married to St. Dave Bailey for almost 41 years. our kids married, great kids. We have 10 grandchildren here in town, and they help me very much with prayer and also with my business. I'm a F.C. Tucker broker with residential real estate sales. So this guy here, St. Joseph, floats in a gallon of holy water, and then my grandchildren bring him into the listing. They kneel down. They pray for a beautiful, smooth sale, lots of stressless things for the seller. And even if my clients are agnostic, there's nothing more beautiful than see small children on their knees. And then over here, we have Our Lady.
The big, beautiful statue. We were talking about at our dinner last week.
The Blessed Mother is, she runs my company. I totally depend on her. I surrender to her. As I am in my 15th year, she's still the Queen Mother. And she's this beautiful statue of Our Lady of Medjugorje has been touched by a relic of the True Cross and the green scapular, the healing scapulars in the base. It's frequently a closing gift. Never too much Mary, because she keeps her eyes on Jesus Christ. So
have you been in real estate your whole life? I know you mentioned 15 years with Tucker.
Yes.
Or Team Bailey.
Yes.
Is this something you've been involved in your whole life, or did you have another profession before that?
I'm a registered nurse, and my mom was a real estate broker, helped my dad raise 8 kids in the suburbs of Chicago, and she was very proud I was an RN. But she said, boy, you need to sell houses. So I was in the Adoration Chapel at St. Luke many years ago. My daughter, youngest, was getting ready to graduate from high school and wasn't going to go to college. And she said, Mom, I want to sell houses. I thought, oh, my gosh. So I went into the Adoration Chapel, and I said, Lord, how can I help Taryn Marie? Right away, immediately, get your real estate license, form a team, and bring your daughter on.
Wow, that's a great story. And Jim and I were just talking about, you know, how stories like that, people that they're witness, is what really kind of moves the dial, I guess, in your work or in your faith life, you know, in sharing the gospel with other people. And it's just really, I guess it's uplifting to hear Catholics that really are devoted to God.
Well, I strive, right? I mean, I have to pray the whole Gospel of St. Mark today in adoration for my penance from a holy priest, so I'm striving.
So I want to ask you a couple questions about real estate.
Yes.
Are there, like, common mistakes that buyers do or you know what I'm saying? How do you help people buy a house? What do people really need to know when they're buying a house? And then are there common maybe misperceptions or, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Before I take the buyer out for the first time, we sit down with coffee or lunch, and I just listen to them. And then I guide them towards several different lenders. They can use their own, but they need to get a pre-approval so that we look at the right price point for them. I mean, it's too much to be disappointed when you can't afford the house.
Right.
So that is something I guide them with. And then also, then we start to look. And in this market, oh my gosh, you have to go out the first day it's on the market.
Yeah, I wondered about that because I have heard, you know, real estate changes throughout time in terms of how quickly houses are going. But I wondered if that was the case.
It is. I mean, the market, that like unseen animal out there, it dictates I mean, what the prices are going to be. And the market has been so, so strong for sellers for several years now.
Now, in some big markets, you used to hear about this, what I'm going to describe, but now it's happening locally here. It used to be that the asking price was what the seller really hoped to get but didn't expect to get, and they would try and get as close to that as they can. And then in bigger markets, in distant, far-off lands, you hear about the asking price kind of being the opening bid. And that's kind of starting to happen on a local basis, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Many times there are multiple bids on one home. And so that's when you need to rely on your broker, and they can, and you know, be guided by them as to what you want to pay for that house. But then the other thing is then it needs to appraise for what the lender is going to loan. So there have been situations where buyers have brought an extra $5,000 to closing because they wanted, they did not want to lose that house.
So I'm curious about these are questions that Bridget Arias has about real estate, because I don't know that much about it. I've only bought a house once, and okay. I still live there.
That's so great. I've
been there for almost 20 years now.
Wonderful.
But is there a big trend in upsizing and downsizing after retirement? Because I know people that have kind of gone both ways.
Yes. Yes.
Which I find kind of odd. Well, when I see people upsizing.
I mean, not very often do I see the upsizing, okay. Not very often, but the downsizing, yes. And just like in my mom's situation decades ago, people would retire, sell their home, move south where it's warm, 2 years later, call her, say, I need a baby backup around my kids. So that happens quite often. The downsizing, I can help them with that part, too, because I know so many people that, like, will help them weed out, you know, the different furniture. They can't take everything when they're going mm-hmm. smaller. So that's a joy and a privilege, too.
What about, I forget the term, where you kind of decorate your house specially for the sale? It used to be, you know, you sold it, you know, they came in, they liked it, they didn't like it, they bought it, they didn't buy it. But now, staging, that's the word
yep,
I'm looking for.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Oh, my gosh, it's so important. And one of my gifts to sellers is I bring in my design/stager, who's also a real estate broker, but with a God-given gift. And we walk through the house slowly. The seller takes notes, and he'll suggest a paint color. He'll say, oh, may I move this chair? He'll move it. They go, why wasn't that chair there for 20 years? Because then the pictures are taken, and that's where people are buying houses online. I mean, they're saying, I have to go see this. So staging is incredibly important. And if they have pets, the little dogs really need to be maybe in the garage or at a friend's mm-hmm. house, because unfortunately, if you can smell a little pet, then people mm-hmm. walk right out.
Is there any kind of a rule of thumb as to what percentage of the selling price you might want to invest in staging?
Yes. Usually, I would say maybe 5%. And if you do that, it's better on you than your first price reduction if you're overpriced.
And you mentioned the whole notion of online, you know, buying, looking, and all that. How much has that changed the market? Because you probably started before there was a ton of online looking. You know what I'm saying? How has that changed the industry, or has it changed the industry? Has it been easier for you, or better for the seller or the buyer? Or
it's
or
better
what?
For the seller. I mean, there have been people who see the house come up online, and they will have their real estate agent write up a purchase agreement before they've been in the house. And it's not unusual. How about that?
That's pretty amazing. It just seems like the whole online thing has really kind of changed a lot of different industries. And I just was curious how it affects.
I think it really helps people, because they can rule out, oh, that's that isn't a big enough kitchen for me. It really is time saving, I think.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
When you think about maybe 30, 40 years ago, at least the way we did it, you'd take the Sunday paper and you'd go through and you'd circle that one's a maybe and oh, that one's a maybe. And then you'd realize, yeah, but that one's way over here and this one's way over here. And you would spend days just trying to identify which ones you might be interested in before you'd ever talk to a realtor about showing them to you.
Right. And you can just drive up and say, no, I don't like the street, or I don't like the look of the house, and maybe you...
Right. Oh, yeah, they don't like the location of it on the street. Maybe it's at a T, and that's something they won't do. Maybe corner houses they don't want to live in. A lot of people love corner houses, so yeah, it helps. It helps a lot.
So I'm curious, just from you, as you know, from your faith life, I'm sure there are various intangible benefits that, you know, that you get derive from doing this kind of work. Can you talk about some of those?
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's a sacred privilege. Have helped people, like a little elderly lady that needed to go into a nursing home and had no idea of all the carpenter ants that were in her basement destroying the rafters and all that. And to get that closed for her and know that she's in a safe place, what a privilege. And then other people that have very painful life situations, and just knowing with joy that I'm there to help them. And then at the closing, when there's peace, it's such a privilege.
I can imagine. So what has it been, what has it been like for other people, I guess? What kind of an impact has it had on them in terms of finding the right house? I mean, I can imagine just seeing their joy. It's like, whew, we finally got a house, you know?
It's wonderful. There's a young single girl that I just helped find a house, and oh my gosh, she's just delighted and wants to have me over and show me the paintwork and all that stuff. And like, yeah, to see her so happy at closing, it's amazing. It's a privilege.
So you work with your daughter?
No, my children have gone on to really good jobs where they have medical benefits because we're independent contractors, but they refer quite a bit to me, and their friends, you know, a lot of them I coached in CYO sports, and so there's a trust element there, like she's another mom. So
now, Mary Grace, where can people get in touch with you if they want to talk to you further, find out more about what we've been talking about?
Sure. My phone number, 317-709-6095, or the Tucker website, FC Tucker website, talktotucker.com/Mary Grace Bailey.
And Mary Grace, I learned a long time ago, all one word with an I in the middle, right?
And a small G. I know. When people call me Mary, I go, no, it's Hail Mary full of grace.
Well, Mary Grace Bailey, you've been a delight to have here on Faith in Action, a little underwriter spotlight. Thank you so much for your wonderful support, and God bless you and your work.
God bless you. God bless Catholic Radio. Thank you.
Amen.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.